Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sports ad free. That's amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Over Everything podcast for Yahoo Sports Canada. I'm your host, Wayne Liu, joined as always by Josh Hart. I feel like we missed 1 or 2 weeks there because mostly because I've been lazy. But Josh,
we were in the protocol, not COVID, but just
I was gonna say let's
relax.
Definitely was not in the protocol. Let's make that clear. You doing good? How you been?
I've been all right. I mean, it's coming on a year. Mm-hmm. It would have been Monday, March, whatever, with our last show, like in the studio. Now we've been inside for a year. That's pretty horrifying. But all things considered, doing okay. Mm-hmm. Everybody's healthy, happy. Have my exercise bike feeling like a hamster on its wheel.
Oh,
pretty good.
Are you on that Peloton lifestyle? What's going on?
No, I don't have Peloton money, but I have Schwinn money.
All right. Yeah. So you're a broke boy. It's okay.
Broke? I mean,
No. That's medium class.
But
that's
middle class. I'm a middle class.
Yeah.
Respectable.
No. I'm on the. There's a, I don't know, 12-year-old bike that I still bike around occasionally on when the temperature cracks.
Have you been doing your late night bike rides? I remember March.
Yeah. No, that was the move. And that was when everyone was like really like still super scared of the virus. And people were, people are either now choosing to be responsible about it or not. But I don't think there's universal fear in the same way there was. But at the start of it, it was like everyone was terrified. No one ever went outside. And that was the best time. Was to like literally at like midnight for the month of April, I would just bike around all of downtown. Yeah. And it was really nice because there was like I would honestly go outside, bike, and see 3 people total over the course of like 2 hours.
I remember you'd send me a picture of the building I live in from outside in the middle of the night. And I would say, all right, well, it's 2 a.m. I guess you went outside. But yeah, I remember early quarantine. It wasn't so much that people were like more afraid. They just had no idea what to do. I think I remember my mom thought that like it would be like people were wiping down their Amazon boxes.
Oh yeah.
Like stuff like that is like, doesn't really affect whether or not you'll contract the virus. But yeah, I remember you would hit touch road middle of the night.
Yeah.
And now, and you beat Drake to, Young Dundas Square in the middle of the night. Like his video from the other day. That was you in April.
That's basically me in April. Absolutely. I gotta say, honestly, riding around late night in Toronto on a bike listening to Drake is not the same experience as riding around driving late at night listening to Drake. I feel like, I don't know. Just it doesn't hit the same. Does not hit the same.
Now, Drake does not make bike music.
He absolutely does not make biking music, which is sad, really. I mean, who really does make biking music, though?
Tyler, the Creator.
Good one. That's a good one.
That's my best answer. That's my first and best answer.
Yeah, my go-to was FKJ during yeah, I just needed vibes. I just needed vibes, so I keep pedaling. I don't actually need anything else. That or like listening to a podcast, which at that time was, there's not a lot going on podcasting-wise. But listen, we have a lot going on podcasting-wise on this show. Obviously, it's still the All-Star break. We just witnessed, what would you say, out of 10 in terms of your satisfaction watching All-Star Weekend 2021 in Atlanta where they're wearing Indianapolis themed jerseys? What was your satisfaction?
It was not that good, not that much fun. I actually think I was really looking forward to seeing Joel Embiid dominate all of these other guys. I think it'd be like a nice way to build his MVP case to show that Joel Embiid is uniquely positioned to dominate the NBA, and having him pulled out kind of last minute, kind of reminding everyone that we're in the middle of a global pandemic and the idea of collecting the league's most valuable and entertaining stars is like kind of a stupid idea because, you know, if something like what happened, things could get really bad. But I don't know. It was cool to see Steph and Dame. Like, I think that was legitimately entertaining. The dunk contest was trash.
Oh, my goodness. That was
Really, really bad.
The dunk contest, half the dunk contest is the crowd. Like, I need to see Damari Carroll in a mink going crazy over Aaron Gordon dunking over a mascot. If it is just a guy jumping and then not kissing the basket,
social distance
with no reactions whatsoever, it's not cool for me. I need more.
I need. Like, I remember after every Anthony Simons attempt, they cut to Dame and he had to pretend to be hype. It was like this is the T-Mac jersey didn't fix it. Everything about it was just so like weak.
Well, to be fair, I think Anthony Simons had to do the same thing when Dame played his music in the locker room. So it's only fair. No, I'm kidding. Dame was one of the brightest parts of All-Star Weekend. Why did he do the three-point shootout?
I don't know.
Just do it. You're going to warm up shooting threes anyway. Just shoot the threes in the warm-up, right? But Steph, I thought Steph was a star. I honestly thought Steph was a little...
He won the weekend. I think
he should have got All-Star MVP. I understand Giannis had like 25 dunks. It's cool, but like, Steph had the most moments I remember. Like, do you remember one Giannis moment? Right?
No,
but you know the Steph moments.
The only Giannis moment I remembered was when Steph tried the half-court pass to LeBron and LeBron fumbled and, like, Giannis wouldn't have. Mm. And that was the only time I thought of Giannis the whole game.
Yeah. Shout out LeBron, man. LeBron, speaking of Damari, he put up a prime 2016 Damari Carroll performance in the All-Star game. I mean, he clearly wasn't trying. He didn't really care, but damn. I mean, obviously LeBron said coming in here that he was like, my body will be there, but my mind won't.
Yeah,
that was, but you know, the other guys made up for it. It sucks for charity, they didn't play that hard. Like, we're talking about millions of dollars for charity, and there was
it's true.
Yeah, whatever.
Still mailing it in.
We don't care.
Yeah, I guess what the like intensity for the All-Star game, I guess it was mostly attributed to Kobe Bryant and the like renaming the award. It seemed like last year guys were really, really jacked up to perform well. Like LeBron was that's terrible LeBron James. 24-foot three-point shot to hit the numbers. Like, LeBron, come on. This is not you. What are you doing? And it was because he wanted to, you know, win the All-Star MVP.
He wanted it so bad.
Yeah, but did you like it? Did you have a good time watching yesterday night? Or were you watching Harry and Meghan and Oprah?
I was not. I was doing dishes with, like, the laptop in the cupboard. Kind of like listening to the game. I don't know. I mean, there were some moments that were really fun. I thought like Steph and Dame going back to back from half court was nuts.
Yeah.
Right? Some of the shots Steph was making was crazy. Obviously, Steph had a really good 3-point shootout. The dunk contest, we knew it was going to be like pretty bad to the point where people were like, well, come on, Cassius Stanley did this in high school. And I'm like, bro, I don't care. I know this ass, and it was ass. Like it really was.
It was
just not a good dunk contest. The best part of it was seeing Josh Smith again.
Yeah, it was nice. Like, I haven't seen him since he got extended, like, all those years ago. Yeah, the stretch provision. That was horrible.
I was going to say, yeah, he was wearing a chain that looked like it was very clear that Detroit Pistons were still paying him to this day. 5 mil a year, which though I guess they'll be doing a Blake Griffin now. The Pistons just love paying for old power forwards who don't play for them, man. They just,
yeah, man,
like the one thing they won't love to do. But yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. It was not the greatest. So, like, it was a difficult circumstance, you know. And yeah, I mean, I think that's probably reasonably what we could have expected. So it is what it is, you know. I think honestly, no Kyle Lowry taking charges might have cut down the intensity of the game. Didn't see any defensive plays. Honestly, the guy who played hardest defensively was probably Kyrie. I thought Kyrie really wanted it, but like nobody on his team was trying to do anything. So
no.
Yeah. Plus KD did not draft a good team. Like, come on, bro. What was that team?
I do think like Embiid would have made a huge difference, but
yeah, you know,
it's not one to remember, but I feel like most All-Star games, you don't remember. And we had a very, very memorable one last year. It'd be hard to like get there again. But do you like the Elam ending? Do you think it sticks around forever, ever?
I do like it. I do think they can keep it around. And this season, I actually feel like it showed another facet of why it's good, because if the game is trash, then the game is over quick.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So, like, I like the fact that they were just like, screw it, we can just leave it. And, of course, like, Dame hitting a game-winning shot. I mean, well, I guess the game-winning shot from half court again, which was it's pretty cool. But at the same time, I was kind of just like, I'm ready for this game to end. And I think the players were too, so.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here to take questions on the Toronto Raptors, as always. You can hit us up on Twitter. First question, unfortunately, we have to talk about more Kyle Lowry trades. So this one from at Digital Poet. Are these Lowry trade rumors from Ryan Russillo and Keith Pompey to be believed? Was his agent just covering for Kyle when he came out and quashed them to ensure fans that he to not think that he's forcing his way out? So yeah. So if you haven't heard already, Ryan Russillo was on the Bill Simmons podcast and said that Kyle has been telling everyone for months that he's getting traded. Keith Pompey of the Sixers beat also put out a report, not necessarily that Kyle wants to be out, but if Kyle goes, his preferred destination would be Philly. But basically, yeah, there's no shortage of Kyle leaving the Raptors talk. Josh, are you buying it? Where are you at with this?
Yeah, you know, I've invested $5.28 million. what was the selling price of his house? I don't know. Who cares? Like, it's wild conjecture. It makes sense for him to leave for both the player and the organization. But if Kyle Lowry doesn't want to leave, he's not leaving. If he does, it will happen. It's just, you know, there's real stuff to worry about. The team has turned the corner on being like legitimately interesting and entertaining to watch nightly. That is probably true with or without Kyle, as demonstrated by the performance in games without him. So if the idea that like the team's most successful player the franchise has ever seen is getting ready to leave, it'll happen. There's not any joy and or anything interesting about like thinking about it every day. I don't know. Like just last week, he tied a franchise record for assists in the game. Like he's still giving the team memorable signature performances. It's just, yeah, there's definitely a good reason for him to leave, but that was true from like the moment Fred VanVleet dribbled the air out of the ball at the end of game 7 against the Celtics.
Oh,
but
I'll go over that again. That was a botched play. The play was to Norm, the hammer play in the corner for 3, didn't develop because the Sixers or the Celtics snuffed it out and Fred had to create. To be honest, Nick should have just called timeout.
Yes. Anywho, I say all this to say it makes sense for Kyle Lowry to leave. It may still happen. It may not happen. Nobody knows. The Raptors organization has leaked nothing. Like Keith Pompey works for the Inquirer and Ryan Russillo works for Boston Police Department. I don't care. Like it's just this isn't coming from the Raptors. So worrying about whether it's true isn't interesting to me.
Yeah.
Do you have a different take?
No, I actually agree with you. I mean, I think it's interesting to talk about because obviously it would be a huge trade for the Raptors' perspective. And of course, you would have to think about sort of you know, balancing what you get back. And of course, Kyle obviously is like a franchise icon, the franchise icon, really. But yeah, I mean, I think wondering whether it's going to happen all the time is not good. I mean, it's just going to hurt your mental, I feel like, you know, like it just, yeah, like it'll weigh on your heart. Like earlier today, I was just walking around the house and I just thought, like, you know, if Kyle Lowry gets traded, I should really start thinking about what to write for, like basically an obit type piece, right? Like, how do you celebrate Kyle Lowry? How do you remember Kyle Lowry? And then I had to like physically stop because I was like, yo, this is hurting me. Like, it's, I don't want to think about these things. I don't want to be like, here's a list of things that I want to put into an article. And, you know, this is how I would do it. Like, I don't even want to think about it like that necessarily. But I do think it is interesting that that this gets talked about, you know, beyond the unpleasantness, because I think it is a real possibility. I don't know necessarily if Kyle's gone to management and said, I want out. But I do think that I think management and Raptors and Kyle should both know essentially what he wants in free agency next year. He's a really competitive guy. All he ever talks about is winning championships. And if you've heard any of his interviews the last like 3 years, he's talked about it. That gold ball, as he always talks about. And, you know, can the Raptors give him that gold ball? Right. Because I think the one way you keep them is sort of you give Kyle Lowry a huge contract, which I'm not sure the Raptors want to be doing this offseason after already signing Fred, with Norm to take care of as well. And of course, with Kyle being 34, and I'm not even sure if Kyle necessarily sees this as a championship opportunity. And I think he wants to add to that resume because he's, you know, like he's a championship player. He's already shown it once. I think if he wins it again with a different club, if he can be the difference making piece for another club, I think that adds to his legacy. And honestly, just look at Kyle. See how competitive he is, man. This guy was playing with like, you know, Aaron Baines and Paul Watson Jr. and Matt Thomas, and he was recording 19 assists and almost beating the Celtics, right? Like, this guy wants to win. He wants to compete. That's all we know about Kyle. So it wouldn't surprise me if he wanted to leave. And I think that's where, you know, regardless of what happens, if he gets moved, if he stays, you kind of have to prepare yourself for both situations and just like kind of be okay with it either way. Do you know what I mean? Because like, it's not a win-win either way, because I think it's a win if Kyle Lowry stays, but I think it can be a win-win both ways, depending on what you get back. And that's where it's interesting, because if it's not Kyle, who do you think is the best player on the market right now that could be moved before the trade deadline?
Well, that's an interesting question. It's like league-wide.
Yeah,
I don't know. I don't know who comes to mind. Like, that's actually gettable, or
yeah, like the guys, like, we've heard.
I think like Ellington makes a team really, Ellington can put a team over the top. Oladipo, same kind of level. Like, if you have a team that's looking to add a guy to the rotation of an already strong team, I don't know. Like does Kyle Lowry make the Denver Nuggets a title contender, or like a more robust one, because they've looked spotty and not the way that you hope they would after the success they had last postseason. Yeah, like Kyle Lowry is definitely the big fish or the trade deadline for a team that's looking to contend. Mm-hmm. But what, there are three teams that make sense for him in Philly, the Clippers, and the Heat. That really, really makes, and I think only Philly and the Heat have the assets. The Clippers, were to get him, it would be
the Clippers.
They'd be fleecing the Raptors. They don't have anything. Yeah. I would look at the like those young players on the Miami Heat, Kendrick Nunn excluded. But I don't know. I don't know who I think is the big trade deadline target.
No, Kyle is the big trade deadline target. Is no other player. Like, it could be – like, Victor Oladipo has not shown that he is that level this season. He has not shown that he is healthy. He's not shown that he can be a guy you consistently rely on, right? I mean, look at the Rockets. Like, they've lost, like, what, 20 straight games or something like that? And then you look at Andre Drummond. It's like, okay, he's clearly on the market. He's not playing anymore. And, I mean, he's not going to be the difference maker the way Kyle is. And you know, Kyle is that number one guy. So the Raptors are holding on to the biggest trade target in ahead of the trade deadline, if he is even on the market.
And for good teams. I do think exactly. Guys like Kevin Love, I think people should be calling about him if you think there's anything left.
Yeah, but I mean, he's got so much money on his contract. Kyle's perfect. Like you could
Kyle Lowry's expired.
And then you could probably re-sign him if it's a winning situation. So it's not a 1-year thing, but it's also not a huge contract like Kevin Love. Kevin's like he's owed the max for like 2 more years. Like it's
but I'm saying if you
or like Al Horford, it's like the same deal.
Yeah, those guys. If I was I don't know who I think could really use Kevin Love, but like I don't know San Antonio looking to like get rid of LaMarcus Aldridge, his expiring, take on a guy that they could think they could build around going forward. Who knows? I don't know. I joke with you that he's the new Troy Tulowitzki, who's going to give you as many games as millions you pay him. But I don't know. It seems to me that, Kyle Lowry is the only guy who can really turn there's a fit that says a team that is in the top half of their bracket in the playoffs can be reasonably put into the finals by adding him.
Yeah.
In Philadelphia, in Miami, assuming that they don't have any more health scares and miss significant time, Kyle Lowry makes those guys, they return to the finals.
Yeah, and, but, you know, if you look at, like, who's the biggest free agent out there, it might still be Kyle in the summer. So, like, when you trade for him, you also have the inside edge to re-signing him as well. So what I'm trying to say is should be a ton of value for Kyle. So I think Masai has been in a situation before. He's had to trade star players. We saw, obviously, that was his first major move as a GM in Denver was trading Carmelo. And he extracted maximum value in Melo going to the Knicks and the Knicks giving pieces back. And I kind of expect that same situation here. Not necessarily that, of course, like when you're trading Melo in his prime versus Kyle Lowry at 34, I'm expecting different trade packages. But I'm trying to say that, like, the Raptors could get a lot for Kyle. So, you know, whether it's sort of like, oh, you know, I don't know if we can give up Matisse Thybul and, you know, maybe we got to give a future first round pick or like, I don't know, like this. I'm like, no. He is a number one target. He's very valuable. If you want him, we need a huge return for him. And I don't think the Raptors would be out of bounds to sort of demand that. And again, if they got a great return, which is like some young pieces, some future picks, some expiring salary, and, you know, if Kyle wanted to go and that's the biggest piece, then you kind of have to be okay with that either way, right? That's one of one very realistic outcome of what happens by the end of the month. So.
It's what, 2 weeks from today? No. 2 weeks from Thursday?
Yeah.
Yikes.
I know. They got to work quick.
Woof.
I know it's unpleasant though. I really don't like talking about this, man. He's a franchise icon, but I mean, if he feels like it's time to move on, and the Raptors feel like they can get something that's worth moving on from him for, then you know you also have to sort of do it. I mean, that's why some of these guys get paid tons. Like that's why Bobby Webster and Masai probably get paid like, you know, at least combined over $10 million a year. Like you got to make these kind of decisions. Another question related to this is from Young Simba 7. Do you really think Kyle requested a trade? Because that's what Rosillo was saying.
Requested? Maybe. I think. I don't know. I think the conversation would look more like, are you open to one? What's your list?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that conversation happened, I don't know, after they like just eked out a win over the New York Knicks on New Year's Eve. Kyle Lowry looked at Masai and said, yeah, make, you know, go.
This ain't it.
Yeah, it's like, you know, after the second time your roof leaks in your apartment, your partner looks at you and you know that means to like go on, you know, Craigslist and start finding apartment listings.
Yeah. No, I mean, I'm sure they've had a conversation. I don't know if Kyle Lowry has demanded out. Like, it's not like a James Harden, I'm leaving and I'm going to the strip club. Let me know when I'm traded to the two teams. Here's my list of two teams. I don't think it's that serious, but I think it's sort of, I mean, I don't know. I obviously don't have any specific insight or into the situation aside from reading what has already happened from the outside. But most likely some kind of conversation like that has already taken place. Another question from the DMs. They said, considering the East leaders are packed for championship aspirations, should the Raptors focus on trying to complement core the young core with younger effective centers instead of trying to contend this year, i.e. build towards a championship long term, especially, you know, if Kyle ends up moving on?
Yeah, you don't want to end the season with fewer assets than you started it with. Like, this team, like, isn't getting past any of the top three, who knows about the Celtics, of the Eastern Conference. So, but it's like,
I feel like we're losing to the Celtics too. Let's be real.
Yes, that's what I agree. So why, like, yeah, definitely find more assets, get a clear idea of your core moving forward. Before the season started, we talked about the like discourse around Norm Powell and Meade advocating that, viewing him as like a piece to be around for as long as this core is together, and maybe moving him in the case that you can actually build a better contender. Anywho, you have Pascal, you have Fred, you have OG, you have Boucher, you'll probably have Norm. The job now is to find pieces that support that core and position yourself to go and get that top 10 guy when the time is right, or have the assets around them to make an interesting team to watch through, you know, January's and February's at Scotiabank Arena for years to come. Mm. Yeah, but there's no point in cashing in assets to loot. Like Blake Griffin just joined the Nets last week. Like, I don't know how they're going to play him and Jeff Green together, but who cares?
Who cares?
Yeah, it's like,
they have both.
Those are nice problems. Yeah. Yeah, it's a nice, good, like, those are very first world problems. Yeah. And there are teams at the top of the division, which is problematic, but especially the conference, that have nicer options than the Raptors do. Anywho. Yeah. Do you feel the same way, that cashing in any asset is a dumb idea?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think they should be trying to trade future first round picks or anything like that. If you can sort of do a smaller level trade and move some second round picks, I'm kind of okay with that, but you're not going to get too much with that. Let's be real. So I'm cool if they try to make a small level, like win now move.
What, like Baines in a second for a upgraded center?
But just like a different center, yeah. like Baines in a second for like Robin Lopez or some garbage like that. But like, I don't even know, man. It's tough. I think they need some bench scoring. Absolutely. Like, no one off the bench can give you a bucket, really. I feel like you're probably going to have to use a first-round pick to get that done. And so I'm not totally happy with that. And, yeah, I don't know, honestly. I mean, one of the issues here, and it's a good problem, is that Norm was going to be that piece you would use to sort of find balance on the roster. But I think, obviously, Norm has come on so strong that you can't actually move Norm and benefit your team. So, yeah, I don't know. I think the Raptors,
Norm hit the front office with an I love it. It was so enjoyable.
I mean, basically, and this is the next question from Ken Chu, who asks, have we seen enough from Norm to put him into the group with Pascal, Fred, and OG as our core moving forward? Josh.
Yes, I did in 2019 when he killed the Bucks. Like, I really like Norm. I've cheered for him this whole time. Mm-hmm. Last season was great. Yeah, he made a lot of Shaq in a fool-esque plays at the beginning of the season, well documented by yourself and many other people on the timeline. But he's turned it around. He's still not a good playmaker, and that's okay. He's a good enough defender to play in your team concept and not sort of shit the bed as often as he did in past seasons. Yeah, I think of Norm as a piece of the core. I don't think that, unless you really believe that you can replace his production through the development organization really quickly, and Terrence Davis has taken a big step back, Flynn looked cool earlier today, but isn't there yet, obviously. To me, Norm Powell gets signed for 3 years, I don't know, under 50, and that's it for the next little while. That's probably his last contract with the team. But yeah, I think he's a member of the core for the next three seasons. That's where I'm at with it. I don't think he's, I don't know, going to be a Raptor for the next 8 years, but I think he's going to be a Raptor for the next three. That's good enough for me.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on how much you're attached to a core, right? Like, core is sort of like, you don't move these guys. Like, core is like, okay, you have Russ and Kevin Durant and Serge Ibaka and, you know, James Harden.
And the tall white guy, what's his name?
Steve Adams. Oh, Nick Collison?
Nick Collison.
Come on, man. Respect him.
He was a part of the core. I know. I felt bad. But he was a member of that core.
You really got to...
Norm Powell is at least better than Nick Collison.
Yeah, that's honestly the first employee of the month. The NBA has retired, man. He's a prime employee of the month material. Yeah, I mean, I think I agree with you in terms of the core, in terms of like the core you would want to have here next year and maybe the year afterwards. Yes, I think you want Norm in that group. Is the core completely unmovable? No, like everyone on the core is available for the right price. It's not like you can't ever trade Norm, but I think I would want him here next year and the year after at least. So in that sense, yes, he is part of the core. Yeah.
Are you surprised that the idea of Terrence Davis production only not being there to replace Norm? I'm kind of surprised. I thought that after last season, it would be a real argument, and there's no argument this season.
A lot has happened for him since last season.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think in terms of the decision-making on the basketball court, you just can't trust him to make the right decision consistently enough to be a starter.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, it's not even close between who was more productive, honestly, towards winning between Norm and Davis. Even though last year it seemed closer. But even though last year was also not that close.
Last year, by the end of this year, you'd say, okay, it'll be a hit, but it'll be close enough to say, but there's no, like, you know.
No, it's fallen.
Terrence Davis put $10 million in Norm Powell's pocket, like with his actions on and off the basketball court. I'm glad Norm benefited.
Yeah. Another question from the DMs. Question for your next mailbag. Between Kyle and Norm, you can only re-sign one. Who do you choose?
Kyle Lowry, but that's an unfair question. I don't like it.
Okay,
but
how about this? Kyle Lowry at $30 million a year or Norm at 15?
And we like, so the salary cap exists in this example.
Oh, you have bird rights. So you could do either one. You could do both, honestly. The Raptors just pay the luxury tax, which are the
opposite. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I still think Kyle Lowry.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. It's not the wrong answer. Absolutely.
I don't really want Kyle Lowry on this team next year if it is not good enough to go the distance. Like, I'm not going to get that much pleasure out of seeing Kyle Lowry. They're too big. Like, he's not, like, Kyle Lowry isn't going to take Flynn under his wing next year. He's like, you know, that's Fred's job. So yeah. Kyle Lowry can, if the Raptors are good and Kyle Lowry can like lead this team to the Eastern Conference Finals, hell yeah. But if they're going to be second round exit, I don't need to see Kyle go through that anymore.
Yeah, but I mean, at the same time, selfishly,
I'd rather
I would always take Kyle Lowry on my team. Absolutely, always.
Yeah, I'm going to miss watching him play basketball, but or on the team that I cheer for. He'll be playing basketball for a few more years yet, but
yeah, it's tough.
Speaking of everyone getting older, did you see Chris Paul's son yesterday?
Yes.
That was
It's freaking out, man. Yeah. No, it's... Everyone, I feel super old during this pandemic. I'm very keenly aware that like an entire year of my 20s was just spent in this room. And you know,
saying hello and welcome every few hours.
Well, I don't mind, but I just it's just sitting in this exact spot. I mean, but then I don't know, man. I was watching the G League game where the Raptors 905 beat the G League Ignite team to advance into the semifinals. They've now won 9 straight. Honestly, 905 really good basketball. Go watch it. They score like 120 every game guaranteed. Then everyone is able to go off for 20. It's actually been really fun to watch. Good job by the GM down there to accumulate so much talent, and also Pat Mutombo and his staff, including Brittany Donaldson and others, have done a really good job of just like getting the team on the same page and preparing well. Like, they have chemistry, which is super rare. Anyway, I was watching that game and they have Jared Jack running pick and rolls with Amir Johnson. Like, this is literally the 2010 Toronto Raptors. And that actually made me feel kind of young, to be honest.
Yeah, they're still out there.
They were running pick and rolls, that pick and roll combination 11 years ago. And now they're running against the Raptors 905. It freaked me out, man.
Wow, that is, yeah, man, time.
Remember when we signed Jarrett Jack? Because he was Chris Bosh's roommate in college at Georgia Tech, and they're like, well, maybe this will convince him to stay. Like,
right. So a thing that is happening in the NBA now, there are guys who are in the league who I'll like look up their birthdays and know the date and then be familiar with games played on the day they were born. So like Maxi on the Sixers, he was born on November 4th, 2000. I remember the game the Raptors played on November 4th, 2000. They played against the Sixers or the Wizards. Vince Carter scored like 35. Williams had 22 off the bench. Like, it was a good game. I was like 8.5 years old. I remember that happening and just thinking that's where Tyrese Maxey's dad was watching in the waiting room while his son was like, while his partner was in labor and his son was about to be born. It's just messed up. There are going to be kids in a few years who are like born after the decision. That's insane to me.
You know, honestly, it's starting to catch up to me again. Like, again, just to talk about being old again. So LaMelo Ball, his birthday is August 22nd, 2001. My little brother, who's 10 years younger than me, is born the same day a year later. And it's freaking me out. I'm like, yo, is that crazy. That could be my little, like, Jalen Green is 2002 baby, like my brother. And it's like, crazy. You know, these guys are just here and they're playing NBA basketball. And yeah, I mean, I'm, you know, again, I'm only 28, but like, or both of us are only 28, but damn, it's I don't like it, man. I don't like it.
Yeah.
No, I feel like we should get this year back. We should get like a discount or something.
No, I'm still 27. I don't know what you're talking about. It's 28 now.
So. Oh, okay. Wow, my bad.
27 too, you know?
Yeah, wow.
My 27 year was a Mickey Mouse year, so who cares? It doesn't count.
Exactly, yeah. Next question from Ronald Lowe, who, again, still sounds so much like my dad. What kind of playoff performance and result would you consider a success for the Raptors now? This is both how many rounds and games they win as well as how they play. If the Raptors get the second round, I'd be thrilled.
I have a better question. Over-under on games the Raptors play in the playoffs that would be satisfactory. I think the over-under is at like 6.5.
That's pretty high. I think
if they win one long series, I'd be happy.
Okay.
And in games one, if they win 3 playoff games, I'm satisfied. They can lose in the first round to most teams and I'd be happy.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, okay, look. So, of course, any kind of sweep or like 5-game situation, we'd be unhappy.
Yeah.
Who can they beat in the playoffs in a head-to-head? In a one-on-one series, like if they face the Knicks, which is hilarious, I think they could beat the Knicks.
Yeah.
If they face the Pacers, I think they could beat the Pacers. If they play the Heat, can they beat the Heat? That would be a long series. It really will be.
That would be a really good series.
I'm giving them a 40% chance to win the series. I think the Heat would be favorites, regardless of how the seeding goes. But the Raptors have a chance in that series. Raptors Celtics, I don't know. I just don't know, man.
Well, especially with the way the Raptors play the Celtics, like they play them like they know this team has their number.
Yeah.
It's
gross.
It's not
here's the thing. The Celtics, I'm not going to criticize Nick Nurse's game plans unless they are absolutely wrong. In the case of the Celtics, I do feel like the way the Raptors guard does not help the Raptors specifically in how they play the Celtics, because the Celtics are like the worst passing team in the league. They play a lot of ISO with their wings. And what they have is a lot of, tertiary guys who aren't great scorers, but all the Raptors do is aggressively send double teams at their scorers, which is fine, but that allows everyone else to get going. It forces them to pass, and it forces them to erase their weakness. And of course, I'm not saying that if you guard them one-on-one, that's going to lead to better results. They might still lose because Tatum and Brown are that good. But at least, you know, I'd rather see Tatum go off for 40 than Semi Ojeleye go off for 10.
It hurts. It hurts a lot when Semi Ojeleye is able to play well. Peyton Pritchard, that was like really a bad time.
Again, like against everyone else, he's averaging like 8 points a game, but against the Raptors,
so
money.
The Bucks sort of mini series earlier this year, I don't think it has any bearing on a series. The Sixers would be I don't want to see the Raptors play the Sixers.
I don't think in the course of a playoff series you could beat them. I think in the Sixers have always been a team, because they're weird, is that you could scheme them well on like the course of a regular season, especially if you have a good coach like Nick Nurse, you can scheme them well and take wins off of them. Yeah. But over the course of the series, they have much more talent than the Raptors do. And yeah, it's going to be a tough series.
If Joel Embiid is able to get Pascal to try to defend him, it's going to be a bad scene.
We don't have a single guy to guard him. Aaron Baines, honestly, probably our best bet. But every time we play Baines, our offense is dead.
Yeah.
So
hopefully the Raptors are in the 4-5 matchup.
I have no idea, because seeding is going to be so different by the time the actual playoffs roll around. But yeah, seriously, if the Raptors get to the second round, I think we shall be thrilled. Next question from David. How do the Raptors get to the next level? Is there enough in the core to continue building and try for a more suitable big this offseason? He says, feels like we are just in limbo. I think it's reasonable to feel like we're in limbo a little bit, but I think it's more like a transition period. So you might not necessarily notice the movement, but it's sort of like movement, like an improvement the Raptors are having relative to the rest of the league. They're clearly shifting to a younger core. And whether we believe it in it or not, I don't think it's a level where you have to blow up this core. This core is not too expensive, and this core is not too old. So I think you kind of keep rolling with it. I mean, I think really the question of how good is this core to invest in them or not, the investment has already been made. You've signed Fred, you've signed OG, you've signed Pascal, you're probably going to sign Norm. And you've obviously kept Bobby Webster, you've kept Nick Nurse in the leadership structure. The team is
good. McKechnie?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I don't know, man. I don't know if Alex is at that level where we need Woj or Shams to tweet about them. But the core is already there. It's really just up to the core to show the team how good they are. But their opportunity is already there. I mean, I don't think they're going to move any of those guys anytime soon. You know, I don't think they feel a need to blow it up. And they're going to...
You shouldn't blow this team up. Like, there's no upside risk. It's just... For what? Like, Blake Griffin, he's just walked over. They're not going to play him, but he wants to be there. Like, it's...
I know. He should have gone to the Heat. He would have been great.
Clearly...
You know, the Heat would have given him some medical treatment that would have had him dunking over Kia's once more.
So it's what stands to be recognized is the fact that Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving are such cool guys, because everybody's just playing with them just for vibes. Like
their head coach is Steve Nash, man.
Yeah, like they're not.
They're vibes.
No one is touching the basketball. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. It's gonna be miserable to watch other teams play against in the playoffs. Like the Eastern Conference playoffs, any team against the Nets is gonna be bad, because you have three guys who can break you down or make the right play. So there's no double teaming, and you just have to guard one on one James Harden on national TV, international TV. There are going to be 2 million people watching you get your pants pulled down like every other day. It's going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
It sucks.
No, the Brooklyn Nets are, yeah, we should rename them Vibes Cartel like that. That's just, yeah. I mean, the core is here. I mean, I don't know. It's up to the core to play better and show what they can be. I mean, I think all those guys have shown continuous development and they're locked in. So it's kind of like a, I don't know. It's unanswerable for now because I don't think they're going to make any changes significantly. And yeah. I don't think they're going to blow it up. So yeah, it's up to those guys to show what they have. James Monroe asks, what's the new hierarchy of who gets coaches' challenges with the current roster? Serge moved up the ladder with Nick Nurse before he left, so it's not fixed. Who is the top three in getting challenges from Nick? So as we all know, number one, in terms of who Nick Nurse is using the coaches' challenge, it should be renamed Kyle's challenge because it's just going to Kyle. It almost doesn't matter who is 2 and 3. But
I love seeing Pascal. Like, and he's like, Pascal, nobody cares. It's not happening. He'll put his hand up, replay that, let's challenge it, and just...
Nothing.
But they'll cut the commercial break. Leo will say, we'll see if there's a challenge. We'll come back. And if team let the call go, and the play begins. It's just... It's the Kyle Lowry. It's Kyle Lowry's.
But if there was 2 and 3, I'd say 2 might be Fred, at this point. He loves Fred. I mean, if Coach plays 40 minutes, he loves you.
Yeah, that's a good point. And then 3, I feel like the only other guy I've seen a coach's challenge used for is like Baines, because he'll take a charge. No. But he's taken a charge and they've challenged it and it was overturned.
Nah, man. How's that going to go over in the locker room?
I think
your nickname, you're going to look them dead in the eye.
I think it's Kyle Lowry saying, challenge this play. My boy was right. And it's just like it's an extension. It's like Kyle Lowry's, he's a made man, so he gets the job done for who else has had a challenge called for one of their plays?
I know who hasn't. It's Chris Boucher. I feel like Chris A fouls a lot, and then B tells Nick Nurse, and you can see on the camera he does the little finger motion of like, "Yo, review this for me," and Nick says no 105% of the time. This guy is just like, "Nah, I know you fouled, bro." Who's this? Okay, so Kyle, Fred, and then third, it might be Pascal just because it might be for OG. Remember when OG blocked Giannis in that second Bucks win and they called it for Giannis, and I believe Nick used the coach's challenge for OG. Turns out he did block Giannis. So OG might be third, honestly, just his most important defender. You're probably gonna need him to stay out of foul trouble. And generally speaking, OG doesn't really pick up fouls like that. But you know, you might be looking at like, all right, we're playing this team with has an all-star wing. We need to keep OG's fouls low. I feel like OG might be third on that list. But it is weird that Pascal doesn't get that same respect, I guess, considering he's a max guy. But I mean, it is what it is, man. But it's really just Kyle's challenge. But I did like that question. Next question comes from Cheryl, who asks, if we tried to trade Baines, who would even want him? Also, wasn't TD better last year? What happened to him besides the obvious? I don't know. This guy just plays really nervous and makes a lot of mistakes. There's a Baines. Who would even want him? I mean, we know the answer, right?
The Sydney Knights? Sydney, what are they?
I have no idea, bro. Where did LaMelo Ball play? That team, the Hawks.
I don't know. I have no idea how to pronounce the name of the city. I don't know.
Illawarra?
Boston Celtics. Illawarra, yeah, the Illawarra Hawks.
Yeah.
I don't think Aaron Baines has any stops after Toronto.
Mm.
Do you?
I feel like he ends up one more time from a league minimum on as a third string center. But yeah, it's almost time for him.
But you don't think he gets more money in Australia?
He's got plenty of money, I think. He got that big deal from Detroit like 2 years ago, right? How much do you think Aaron Baines has made?
Oh God, I'm so bad at this game. How old is he? Like 30 something? What, 3 or something?
He's 34 years old. He's played in the NBA since 2012. So this is his ninth season.
So like mid-70s?
He's made $31 million. This is not
really
not including this current year, which he's getting paid seven. So he's at $38
million. So he only got one bigger contract.
Yeah, which, I mean, you know.
I mean, $31 million is like an unbelievable amount of money, but like one bigger. I thought he had two NBA contracts.
He got the Pistons contract that was like 2 years 15, no, 2 years 13. Then he signed with the Celtics for 1 year at the biannual. Then he signed with, 2 years with the Celtics at the biannual. Then he signed Phoenix last year, I think biannual as well. And then this year he got the full mid-level, close to the full mid-level. But anyway,
it's kind of surprising to me.
Yeah. But that's still pretty good. If you played this long in the NBA and you got $38 million for it, that's not bad. Honestly, the NBA Players Union, people complain all the time. I mean, you can't really complain, man. Look at the number of
contracts. Yeah, like every year there'll be some big NFL contract and they say, okay, he ranks between Nick Batum and Harrison Barnes.
I'm like, man, oh, man. Like, my favorite thing is hockey Twitter being angry. They're like, I can't believe Sidney Crosby gets paid less than Nick Nurse to just coach a team. And I'm like, bro, nobody cares. Nobody cares. Yeah. And they're getting
Yeah. Also, right, what's the next question?
What's up with NFL contracts being like half guaranteed? That was like, it's worth $500 million, but it's actually guaranteed for 25. What is
it? Yeah, it's just a way to keep the money in the billionaire's pocket.
That's disgusting, man. But they got the player owners. I mean, the only thing you should have to do as a players union is guarantee that the money that is on your contract actually comes to you. Like,
I mean, it's a great point you're making.
I mean, it's like one of the first things you have to do is, okay, we're going to work for this much. Okay, I'm actually going to get that money, right? Yes. Okay, cool.
A couple years ago, Julio Jones signed a $100 million like 3 year contract. Fully like guaranteed $97 million on signing. They're like, all right, here's $100 million. Just show up for the next, you know, couple years.
Okay, see, I like that. I like that. But it's also, you know, how motivated is a guy to keep playing? He's like, yo, you've already paid me, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm probably getting the numbers wrong, but he got his signing bonus was a lot of the contract.
Yeah, let's say you pay a contractor to come and fix the plumbing in your house, and you paid him $2,000 right off the bat. That's just not getting done. Or you're paying more than $2,000.
Yeah, fact.
So, the next question from the Matthew T. Should the Raptors trade for Thaddeus Young? I think Thaddeus Young could be an effective small ball five. I feel like Thaddeus Young
is Thaddeus Young, right? This?
Bro, I feel like it's in that territory of Ersan Ilyasova as like a guy the Raptors should have always had. Because I feel like this is not the first time someone has wanted Thaddeus on the Raptors, and it's probably not the first time I wanted Thad on the Raptors. But Thad Young makes 13.5 this year. He makes 14.2 next year. Next year is partially guaranteed for only $6 million. So, I mean, bro, that's like an NFL contract right there. But in any case, he has been an effective player for many years. He's obviously older now. He's 32 years old. But he's still a nice piece for the Chicago Bulls. He's shooting 61% from the field. Still not shooting the three well, the lefty, but does a lot of playmaking, does a lot of defending. A kind of a piece that pretty much, you know, every team would want a guy like Thaddeus Young. Do you want to trade for Thaddeus Young?
Again, like the Bulls won't want nothing.
Yes.
And the Raptors can get better for their real trade chips and can't get Thaddeus Young with the stuff they're willing to give away for free. Right?
Yeah. I mean, listen, the Bulls are tied with the Raptors in terms of they're both two games under 500 at the moment. So, and I think the Bulls want to make the playoffs.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, they're not just trying to, like,
well, they had all of that, like, they had all of that, like, front office drama last year, 2 years ago. Like, they're probably trying to put the right, you know, right foot forward.
Yeah. I mean, it's a new regime. It's a, you know, in terms of their front office, I mean, they interviewed Bobby for it. And of course, Bobby stayed and now he's signed with the Raptors. But they got their guy there in the front office. They got the new head coach. you know, I think they probably want to try to compete. So I don't think they actually want to move Thad Young. Of course, it doesn't mean Thad Young's untouchable, but, you know.
They're not dumping him. They are dumping what's-his-face. He's shooting 40% for three. I don't remember his name. I don't know how you guys do it. I remember all these basketball players' names. Otto Porter Jr.
Oh, yeah, I saw he's going to get bought out. Yeah, yeah.
Which is...
I mean...
That would be interesting.
Sure, yeah. Remember that year Otto Porter... I mean, yo, against the Wizards. I mean, I know we don't talk about 2015 against the Wizards, but the way Otto Porter was shutting down DeMar DeRozan, man, that thing hurt my soul, man.
Yeah. That was a terrible time because the Raptors didn't win any games after Madonna kissed Drake at Coachella. And it was just like a bad week for...
The vibes were
fine. The vibes were rough.
That team was not called Vibes Cartel. That was not it. Yeah, I mean, I think it probably cost too much to get that, to be honest. Like, I think, obviously, you would be trying to give them Baines and I don't even know, like a McCaw. But you probably have to throw in a protected first. And at this point, am I going to give up a protected first for Thad Young? No. You know, I think I'd be trying to target one of their other two bigs, their younger bigs, in terms of Wendell Carter and Lauri Markkanen. And Lauri Markkanen has had a nice year, 19 points, shooting 50% from the field, 40% from three.
It's too bad. I was kind of hoping he would be a buy low asset right around now.
Well, he kind of had like an off year last year, and then they didn't sign him to the rookie extension, so he's going to hit restricted free agency. You know, I mean, I guess the Raptors could still go after him if they wanted Lauri, but the Bulls also have plenty of money, and they'll probably just keep him. So, yeah, it's tough. But, I mean, listen, Wendell Carter, maybe. I don't know. He's better than most of the Raptors bigs right now. Next question. Someone asked about Rondé.
He should be on somebody's team.
He should be on somebody's team, yeah. But, I mean, you look at the NBA now, bro. Every single guy can shoot. Like, we just watched an All-Star game where multiple players were hitting shots from half court. And, of course, those guys are future Hall of Famers. But still, the level of shooting in the NBA is so high now that it's just almost unacceptable to not be able to shoot. Like, you have to be, like, a high-flying center Baines to not have that. And Baines shoots better from three than Rondé. I'm telling you, like, Rondé, like, in practice and stuff like that was missing the same way you see it in games. So.
Yeah. Tough.
It's tough. Next question from Chris Boucher, 4MIP/6 Man of the Year. Hi, guys. So what are your favorites to come out of the East and West? For me, it's Philly and the Lakers. And then second, he has the same question. Let's ask that in a second. But who's your favorite to come out of the East and West right now at the halfway mark?
Still the Sixers. Sixers, okay. Prediction preseason. I'm really happy that Joel Embiid is leading MVP voting or MVP ladder watching. I think they have the potential to have like a really devastating defense. Mm. It's cool. Like, I like that Doc Rivers is climbing the mountain again. Morey, I guess, is also – I feel like he's got the least halo effect from this team's success. Like, people are slightly less critical than Ben Simmons previously. Joel Embiid is going to win MVP probably. Mm-hmm. And Doc Rivers, sort of the questions asked about him in Los Angeles, I think are falling by the wayside. But Daryl Morey doesn't seem to be getting the big halo effect.
But he hasn't really done that much with the group. I mean,
you're not wrong.
He flipped out Horford, which was good. He signed Dwight Howard, who's fine. And he traded for Seth Curry, which was actually
Dwight Howard's been pretty good. Like, Dwight Howard's been... it has way more to do with Dwight Howard in the last two seasons. Like, since he came back from that, butt injury from a few years ago. A hamstring injury from a few years ago. He's like figured out how to be a part of the new NBA. He lost a ton of weight. Like, those are all really like salute to Dwight for figuring out a way to extend his NBA career, win a title, and then definitely contend for one again. The reason I don't believe in the Nets is
too much vibes.
And also just like, I don't know.
No defense.
And like karmically, it doesn't seem balanced. Like, I think there's something just not quite right with the universe if they win the title. Like, DeAndre...
That sounds like what Kyrie would say in the post-game interview.
those, DeAndre Jordan and Blake Griffin winning a title before Chris Paul is just wrong. Should not happen.
No, it's not. No, it's not. Some people are just perpetual losers. Like,
it's just not right. Yeah. So I have to, and I really do like Joel Embiid is my favorite player in the league the last few years. I really am hoping that he's able to win one, and it'll be cool. It'll be and like the Steve Nash stuff. Still, I don't really like it. I still don't know what he's doing, like what he does for that organization. So, anyway, Sixers, and then in the West, the Lakers. It's.
I'm still going with Lakers in the West. I know Utah's had some nice. Utah looks okay. You know, they look. I mean, not more than okay. They look really good. The Clippers have really shot the lights out. They've changed their offense. Yeah. Obviously, with Serge there, he's shooting a ton of threes. He's done really well there. Good for him. Paul George is having a better season, but I still don't fundamentally believe in that team. And also, Kawhi has low-key been like not good in clutch time, which of course, like we know Kawhi, like he's Kawhi still, but I don't like the shots they get in crunch time ever. It's the Bucks game, a pull-up jumper.
That Bucks game was like really, really bad. Like the last 2 minutes, what they went 0-for-6, attempted one pass.
Yeah, it might have been a turnover too. Like, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, they need more pieces. I think that team is kind of unbalanced. I still have the Lakers out west, especially with everyone healthy. I don't know, man. In the East, I'm taking Brooklyn. I don't care. It doesn't matter. If the Sixers pull off the Kyle Lowry trade, then okay, then fine. I think the Sixers would be the favorite with Kyle.
Sure.
But without Kyle, I think the Nets are still number one. Also, by the way, if the Sixers were to trade for Kyle, that would mean Kyle Lowry would be guarding Kyrie Irving on the ball. Because let's be real, you're going to put Ben Simmons on James Harden.
Yeah.
And, of course, ideally you put Kyle Lowry on Joe Harris, which he can do quite well. I thought he did well with that matchup last year. But who is guarding the point guard? They don't have a point guard. When they trade for Kyle, Kyle has to guard the point guard. So Kyle's guarding Kyrie. That might look terrible. I'm just saying, I've seen that like in 2016, Kyle couldn't really guard Kyrie. And it's not a shame that Kyle can't guard Kyrie. Yeah. Kyrie is ridiculous, but that could look real bad for my guy, you know?
Yeah.
Or maybe you put Simmons on KD instead, but then like who's guarding James Harden? Like, is it Kyle guarding James Harden? Because that would also look bad. Or Tobias Harris guarding him? Like, are we starting Matisse Thybulle? I don't understand the Sixers. I really don't.
I really do want to watch that series. I think it'll be really interesting. And I think if the Sixers win, it'll give Doc Rivers the opportunity to pants Steve Nash. And that'd be cool.
Okay. I'm with it. Yeah.
Doc Rivers perennially, I think, the victim of the underestimation of black coaches in the NBA have the opportunity to take down the prince of not having accomplished much as a coach before getting to
not having coached with before, one. Bro. Yeah, you didn't like, coach before.
It'd be kind of cool to watch happen. Like
it would be. It would be kind of satisfying. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anywho,
even though I do love Steve. That was my first favorite basketball player. But I don't know, man.
If he stays in Brooklyn, he's gonna have a lot more swings at it. But
yeah. Yes. Second half of this question. Off-topic question for Will. How did I become a Liverpool supporter? How much do I hate Jordan Pickford for effectively killing your title defending season? Definitely hate Jordan Pickford for that. Just a reckless challenge. Surprising you didn't get a red. I can't believe you didn't get a red card. I don't care if it was deemed offside because like someone's hair was offside. It's ridiculous. How did I become a Liverpool fan is basically I picked all my sports teams in 2004. And Liverpool was, you know, doing pretty good at that time. You know, some people might remember what they did in Champions League around that time. So,
is that where you're a big Red Sox fan?
No. I mean, of course, you pick the teams in Toronto, of course. But of course, with some other these things, like, you know, they obviously didn't have teams. Like, I was a big Colts fan as well. Not even a big Colts fan. If I had an NFL team, it would have been the Colts at that time.
The Peyton Manning, I think in 2004, did one of the coolest things I ever saw on a football field. Okay. Tony Dungy wanted to send on the punt unit, and he waved them off. Or send on the – I think it was the punt unit, and he waved them off, called the play, got the first down. I was like, that's pretty fucking tight.
That's pretty cool. Yeah. I'm just looking at Peyton Manning 2004, and they said he threw for 4,557 yards with 49 touchdowns.
Sounds like Peyton Manning.
That sounds ridiculous. No, I just remember that like pretty much every team that was hot around that time, that's kind of what I picked. That was kind of like my coming to age as a sports fan. And yeah, I mean, of course, I picked all the Toronto teams when I could. But other than that, it was like, who was hot on the score? Like, remember the score used to have just like highlight packs and stuff like that. They make core cuts and like plays of the week and stuff. And like, man, Steven Gerrard was like scoring like just ridiculous like goals from outside the box. And that's like the coolest thing you could do in soccer is just like score like an absolute screamer from like 30 feet out. He was doing that. Obviously, he was in his prime then too. And then, yeah, I mean, Peyton Manning was great in football. So that's how I picked my teams. Next question. A bit controversial, but I'll ask anyway. Peter Gilbert asks, question for the pod. Why is it that we don't hear much about penalties for NBA players with violations for performance-enhancing drugs compared to the MLB? Is the NBA less stringent in tests, or is it truly an issue? The reason I'm asking is I see older players doing well.
I don't know. According to Hannibal Buress, LeBron James has been doing HGH for years.
I mean, here's the thing. Even if you did, have you lost because of it? No, I haven't.
Yeah, like, I mean,
it's been great. I'm not saying it hasn't been. I'm just saying it's clearly hasn't hurt the product.
Yeah, I don't know. I have no idea why. Like, I don't administer the tests. I think in Major League Baseball, for example, there was a culture of its use that was exposed that, I don't know, for years and years and years, the same accusations or claims have not been made about the NBA. You do know, like, you do hear about NBA players smoking weed, but like apples and oranges. So I would say that, like, maybe it just doesn't exist. Like, I don't know. I think after 40 years, somebody would say something sometime. That's what I always thought. But maybe David Stern just never cared.
Stern definitely cared. I just think like for the actual product itself, I think PEDs hurt the MLB product because all the records are getting destroyed. You saw just like, and you started seeing like physical abnormalities occur.
Yeah.
And
Barry Bonds' head.
Yeah. It was like the size of mine. Like that's a real issue, man. But you know, in basketball, I don't think we've seen players change in terms of size. If anything, it's gone smaller. For players. Of course, that's more the reflection of how the game is played, but the game's gone smaller. And yeah, I don't know, man. I just don't think that maybe it doesn't have the same effect. I mean, I think with baseball, like so much of it is based on strength. And you know, I'm sure there's different kinds of performance enhancing. There's like, I guess, endurance and things like that as well. But I don't know. I just don't think it benefits NBA players the same way, just based on the sport itself. I mean, they do test, like I think their testing is the exact same. And they do occasionally find players who test positive, but they're always like super fringe players. Like they'll be like, "Oh, Joakim Noah tested positive." And it's like, "Huh? Haven't thought about Joakim in a while." Like, "Oh, Hito Turkoglu tested positive." And it's like, "Okay," but I don't know, man.
Well, I remember a couple years ago somebody got dinged, and it was something that was commercially available, like GNC, that had a chemical that was on the banned list. So that stuff happens all the time too. Like it's. I don't know, it's a part of professional sports that I don't feel that interested in because, I don't know, people are making decisions with their own bodies and their lives.
Yeah, absolutely. Two more questions before we get to Malachi's missions. ASP asks, what would each Raptor score be in a three-point contest, same setup as the All-Star Weekend? I think we'd be comfortable predicting Matt Thomas wins, but who comes 2-5 and so on? I don't see... At this point, I'm kidding. I do think Matt Thomas would win the three-point contest. I don't know what their scores would be, obviously. I think it's harder to tell now because they put so many money balls plus the two deep I don't know what the Mountain Dew balls.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, means something totally different before this All-Star contest. Mountain Dew balls. But
this guy.
What? Am I wrong? Like,
you're not wrong.
Are they sponsoring this podcast? In any case. Yeah, who
would you think? I don't know. Kyle Lowry definitely scores a 9. Kyle Lowry gets a 9.
Even with the Moneyball rec? Come on, man. We got to give Kyle, like, there's inflation happening, so we give Kyle, like, a 12. Kyle has not done well in the three-point contest. That we know for sure. He turned the 6 upside down. That was terrible, bro. I every single time I watch players shoot, I'm reminded of the time Kyle Lowry in 2017 had a broken hand and decided to shoot in the contest anyway and scored a 9, bro. 9. You understand? There's like 25 basketballs, and some of them are worth 2.
You could get a 9.
No,
the timing would be tough, difficult.
I could not get a 9. No. But and you know what though? If I had many chances, could I get a high score of 9? Yeah, probably. But
how many
on one attempt? No, I wouldn't get 9.
Yeah, one attempt and timed is hard.
Yes. But if you're asking if I could make 9 threes, if you
get 9 of 25 with like 5 and 8, like around the world.
But here's the thing,
for sure.
Some of the balls are worth 2. So if you hit 9, it does not necessarily mean you made 9 shots.
So you can get, you can hit 4 baskets and get 9 points. That's not true. You can't do that. You can get 5 baskets and get 9 points.
I might, honestly, yeah. In any case, yeah.
Fred, so, Norm also do well.
Fred and Norm, I would think, are 2 and 3.
Who do you think wins, Boucher or Kyle?
Nah, Chris Boucher's. No. As much as Chris is shooting 45%, I still think Kyle's got him in the 3-point contest.
Yeah, I would hope so.
Is Boucher 4? No, he's yeah. So Matt Thomas is 1.
Yeah,
and Matt Thomas is 1. By the way, we saw there's literally a video of him shooting in EuroLeague, and he hit like 25 of like 30. Like he is 1. Fred and Norm would be competitive. Those two guys are obviously very, very good at it. Norm elevates a lot in his jumper, so I feel like that's going to hurt him in a 3-point contest. Because it feels like the key is to keep your legs lower. You're not jumping as much. And I feel like Norm really needs his legs in his shot. Whereas like Fred is kind of a guy who doesn't really jump much on his jumper.
Yeah.
So Fred might do a little bit better technically. But those are the top 3. Then Kyle, then Chris Boucher.
So Kyle with 9. Boucher with at most 8.
I can't even say on this topic anymore.
I love Kyle. I'm going to miss him so much if he leaves.
Seriously, man. The GOAT.
The GOAT.
The GOAT.
Right.
And then lastly, before we get to our signature segment, Josh wants to know who wins each event in a Raptors Twitter media All-Star Weekend competition. Oh, I love this question so much.
Not a lot of vertical.
So first off, nobody's winning the dunk contest. I don't know a single Raptors media. Well, I'm not friends with a single Raptors media personality who can dunk. Like nobody on Raptors Twitter that you know of can dunk.
I can't think of anybody that can dunk.
I don't even think anyone can come close to dunking.
I feel like 19-year-old Asad might have, but it's probably been a while.
He's also like I don't know, man. He just doesn't have the hops for that. I doubt it.
No, yeah, he doesn't get.
I've never seen him dunk. He can definitely play though. He would win he could probably win the 3-point contest. But this is not like a Zach LaVine situation. He can win both. So the dunk contest is out entirely. So we're really just talking about 3-point contest and the skills challenge.
Skill comp,
Skills comp. I still don't even know, man. The issue with skills comp is it's too easy, even for like a regular person. Like a regular person could do the skills comp.
Most people's skills competition performance is too close. Like I can't really think of how anyone would distinguish themselves and be like an outlier at performing.
It's whether you can hit the open 3 at the end.
Yeah.
I'm going with Asad for 3-point contest and that.
And skills. Yeah. Yeah.
And he's not even really media, but whatever. He's on the Snyder pod, so he's still media for me.
Can't Robo play?
Yeah, but I mean, but like.
So maybe
we're really stretching at this point. I'm not, no offense to Rumble, but it's just like, I thought this was like Josh Lewenberg versus Eric Kareem.
I don't know. You think God bless everybody.
Doug Smith got game.
You think? I don't.
Doug Smith versus Dwight Howard in the skills comp. Who you got?
What depends on the skill, but probably Dwight Howard.
Yeah, I agree. No, it's a rather untalented group, I have to say. And I've seen some of these people actually play. Michael Grange is probably the best basketball player. He played before. He's also pretty tall. Give him a real chance. I've seen Bruce Arthur play pretty well, but he's moved off the Raptor beat to more like a general world issues beat.
It was a very strange transition, because I remember reading Bruce, and then like he started talking about different stuff. Like, Bruce, you have opinions not related to sports. Like, it's good for you for like,
right,
flexing that way. Like, look at the growth person. Well, like, or having the opportunity to like share your different ideas. Like, that's it's not easy.
Yeah,
I imagine. Anywho,
it's not talented. Blake, you know, all these other guys, no good, no good. It's probably like Paul Jones.
No, it's Iman. Iman can dunk.
Iman is like 5'4".
Yeah,
5'4". Yeah. Like a Spud Webb 5'4", though?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like a Nate Robinson 5'4". Like.
Yeah, Iman could beat Jake Paul in the boxing match, that's for sure. Or whichever of the Pauls that fought Nate Robinson. Iman would win.
Yikes.
I think every member of the Dishes and Dimes podcast can fight.
Definitely can fight.
They can all can fight.
Yeah, I don't know. This is tough, but I mean, I haven't played basketball with all of them. It's definitely not me. I'll say that much.
It is. Yeah, Will foul out of the All-Star game.
Yeah, I was going to say, if the skills challenge is fouling people, absolutely. I will win that.
Will be the first person to foul out of the three-point contest.
Yo, I'm going to be fouling more three-point shooters than Chris Boucher, bro. No, I'm going to turn the six upside down. It'll be a minus six. That's my score in the three-point contest. So, all right. Well, that does it for the questions. Thanks, everyone, for listening. We've moved on to our signature segment, Malachi's Missions. Malachi is still with the Raptors, still not really doing too much outside of sitting on the bench. But, what's your suggestion for him?
So inspired by some of the events over the last weekend, principally Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons missing out on the All-Star game due to contact tracing, as well as Zion Williamson's neck and chin area. I wanted to give Malachi Flynn some suggestions on men's grooming, especially for being a black man, finding resources to take care of our specific hair needs is challenging. And I remember when I was 18 and moved to Ottawa, is not a town filled with as many black people as Toronto is. So finding the things that I needed to keep myself looking sharp and not having whatever the hell Zion Williamson was going on, I thought I would encourage Malachi to pick up two things that are both fairly affordable. A wall peanut. It's a clipper that you can get at most hair care supply stores, as well as on Amazon, for example, as well as 10 Skin Solution. It's an aftershave that you should have in your DOP kit. You know, I know lots of NBA players have these, very expensive handbags that they carry their grooming supplies in. So I would encourage you, Malachi, to pick both of those up to take care of yourself so you don't need to risk infection or risk looking like Zion Williamson did yesterday evening. I saw the tweets that Zion Williamson's experience at Duke didn't set him up well, and I'd like you, Malachi, to avoid those same pitfalls. So that's my suggestion this week. Oh,
God. Yeah, if you search Zion Williamson neck on Twitter, you'll get some pretty hilarious commentary.
It's a real thing. It is a real thing. Like,
I feel bad for him. Yeah, like
I learned tough to shave, I didn't ask enough people. Like, I didn't ask my father and brother. So, you know, when you're 16, 17, 18, you just want to do things yourself, and like asking your dad what to do when shaving feels embarrassing. And like finding like 10 skin and using clippers to shave were both like, they kept me looking, you know, presentable when I was in my late teens. So Zion, that's my, if you're somehow listening to this as well, do you think you're going to have like a 10 skin, like a sponsorship deal in a couple of weeks? He's got it.
Man, I feel or so Bevel. Bad for him, bro. I just looked it up on Twitter and someone said Zion Williams's neck looks like the back of a Crunch bar.
Yeah, it's like, but it's dude. It really is a thing that like most black guys I know experience. So having resources it's Gillette's not going to get you. It's not. It just isn't.
I mean, right. You know, this is very real advice that you're giving him. And Malachi, yeah. I hope you're taking it, man. He looks pretty sharp, though, to me. I feel like he's got the grooming good. Situation down pretty well. For me, my recommendation is, listen, you need to burn a lot of time during the pandemic. All right. The weather is starting to turn. We're starting to get like some double digit temperature days in Toronto coming up this week, although we'll see what happens if it actually comes. But you just need to burn a lot of time. Especially if you're by yourself in their pandemic, watch the extended Lord of the Rings movies, all three of them. It'll burn like in three entire nights for you. The entire night will be gone when you watch 4.5 hours of these guys running across the plains of New Zealand and whatnot. I don't know. I've just been really on a Lord of the Rings kick of late. I'm not sure why, but like it's like one of those things where YouTube recommendations like just pulls you in. They're like, hey, here's a video of like, you know, did you want to know what Aragorn was doing before Lord of the Rings? And I'm like, yeah, I do. Let me see this video. And all of a sudden you've watched like 16 of these videos and you started watching the three movies again. And that's kind of what I've done recently. And gotta say it still holds up. Still really recommend it. And yeah. Lord of the Rings. I know, real Sick. Timely, man. Real timely. Movies from 2003.
Speaking of movies, have you watched Boogie yet? Are you going to?
Yes, I will. But no.
Yeah, we I'm should.
Not. Me and my partner's we should, timing has not synced up to the point where we can sit down and watch a movie of late. But
you know, let's plan to watch it before the next time this records, and we'll break down Boogie. I'm excited to watch it. RP Pop's Smoke.
I think Alex. I think when that movie came out, Alex said this is really a movie about you, Will. And
I mean, I knew had, you in I high school.
Had, it's not, I had the pushback. I had the pushback, but not as strongly as I really could have.
That's if you'd gone to, you were either going to go to Richview or MCI.
No, I was not going to Richview. No. I was not going to go to Richview. No way.
But if you went to NACI, that would have been you. If you went to North Albion, that would have been
If I went to Scarlet Heights, which is if my parents never moved, if I went to Scarlet Heights, yeah,
that would have been
Institution of Technology, a.k.a. shit. No, I mean, they've changed it to Entrepreneurial
Academy. Like
Shay? Yeah,
Entrepreneurial Academy, yeah.
But yeah, if I went to Scarlet Heights, absolutely. That was Boogie used to start with me in middle school. How's that? It's not though. It's not. But. Oh God!
You at Hilltop? Oh my goodness!
Yo, one of the issues with a lack of representation is when there's a lack of it, you can't pick who represents you. And I would never pick anyone to represent. But there aren't that many choices. Unfortunately, yeah. I just got to refute these things, man.
It is fun to have a sports movie. Like I feel like.
Yeah.
What was the last sports movie that? The Ben Affleck basketball one.
That was Ben Affleck basketball one.
Yeah, it came out like right before the pandemic kicked off. It's like the something. Or
that's specific. The Way Back
is this the Way Back?
What the hell is that? I've never heard of this thing in my life.
Ben Affleck is a former high school player who sort of. Down on hard times, he'd experienced like a tragedy recently and still grieving when he's asked to start coaching the high school team that he used to go to, and he's like reckoning with the stuff that had happened to him in the past and why his basketball career never worked out. It's pretty good. I liked it. It made me cry. I think it's on like a streamer now, so you don't even have to like rent it specifically. But what's your, what are your favorite basketball movies ever?
Hitch. So Hitch has a scene where they sit courtside and watch the New York Knicks. No, I'm kidding. Although I do love that movie. What's my favorite? Coach Carter. I think Coach Carter is a real solid movie. Which, by the way, can we make sports movies without trauma? Like, I feels like it's always like, it's a movie about sports, but someone got traumatized along the way. You know, like, you know.
Someone dies,
and I'm like, bro. Like,
there's so many movies where there's like a black boy dribbling down the street, and then he gets murdered in a drive-by, and that's the that's what's happening during the opening credits of a movie. Like, it's brutal.
Like, exactly. That's what I'm saying. So, can we have the new challenges? Can we make a sports movie that doesn't have excess amounts of trauma, please?
But I feel like the only sports movies that aren't traumatic are the ones that have like athletes in them. Like, the only nice basketball stories are like Thunderstruck and the Uncle Drew movie.
Oh god,
Thunderstruck Uncle is Drew Kevin Durant's movie.
Thunderstruck really is also bad. I can't believe I've seen both. Then honestly, I had way too much time during university. Way too much time.
What if like basketball players started making like gritty cinematic like art movies?
That's what, like, I would like to see. You know, Minari with Yuta Watanabe. I would love to see that.
Just like an A24 produced movie starring an NBA player.
I mean, technically, we already had that. That's Uncut Gems.
But
And it worked.
No, it is true.
Like Mike, I gotta give a shout out to Like Mike.
Like Mike was good. Shout out to Bawa. Mike was
really good. Yeah. Like, I mean, I'm not saying like it's one of those things that like you need to win an Oscar for, but Like Mike was legitimately fun.
White Men Can't Jump is like I think underrated.
Yeah.
Maybe it's highly rated, but I really liked it.
It's definitely highly rated. I didn't know what you were saying with the underrated part, but no, it's
underrated in the pantheon of basketball movies.
Yeah, we've hit the Bill Simmons portion of the podcast. Let's keep going.
This is Full Simmons.
I didn't know there was a Like Mike 2. What? There's a Like Mike 2. All right. That's probably not good.
Really? With Bow Wow and who is that?
Who's the other kid
in the
Also,
is Teen Wolf a basketball movie?
Yes, but I don't know. I guess so, yeah. Why not?
I agree.
Basketball movies is very like loose. It doesn't always have to be like Hoosiers or whatever, which I've also seen Hoosiers, and it's the most try-hard movie I've ever seen, man. Anytime you got a scene where like the coach comes out with a tape measure and he's like, yo, measure the length of the baseline, measure the height of the rim. And I'm like, get out of here, man.
Measure the three corners of an isosceles triangle. Why? It's isosceles.
Why? I was gonna say, like, why do I want to see Nick Nurse coaching the BBL? How much do you think Nick used some of these techniques in the BBL? Do you think he told someone in Birmingham to measure the width of the rim? You can fit two basketballs in here still, so you should make the next number. I don't care if you had a part-time job.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of who would be my favorite act. Like, what could there be like a Star Is Born-esque movie, like set with two basketball players? There's, I don't know, a guy on a team, and then a new rookie overtakes their spotlight. That'd be an I think that maybe it's already happened, but I can't think of a movie set in the NBA that feels that same way.
Yeah.
That'd be a cool storyline. Maybe they fall in love. Who knows?
Yeah. You know, listen, a lot can happen these days. What else? I don't know, man. He Got Game.
He Got Game is good. Love and Basketball. Love and basketball.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Yeah, it's a classic for sure.
What was the one with Queen Latifah and Common and Commons in the NBA?
Just Right, except Right is spelled like DeLon.
Oh.
Yeah. Shout out Queen Latifah. Queen Latifah got some basketball moves. I feel like she had some like actual skills.
Maybe. Didn't she play in the All-Star game? The All-Celebrity game?
A clip on Twitter where she like crossed up Sean Kemp in like 1995.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Shout out. She's wearing the same jumpsuit from Set It Off, the navy blue coveralls. That'd be sick. They should reboot. They should remake Set It Off. What a classic flim.
I was going to say, they should remake a lot of these basketball movies. I know remakes are kind of bad, but like, don't you want to see a modern version of Why Man Can't Jump?
Yeah, who would be in it? Oh, what's his face? Denzel Washington's son. John David Washington. He's very athletic. Okay, I watched Tenet, and he can like move like a real athlete.
Yeah, yeah. By the way, I need basketball movies that don't actually have NBA players acting in them, please. Or if they do, like a cameo role, but I don't want to see like, you know, the Space Jam model. I'm good on that, to be honest.
You're not excited for the new Space Jam?
I'll watch it because, you know, it's part of the zeitgeist and you kind of need to know what's going on, but
I don't think you need to talk about plot points.
Like, okay, for example, like, did you watch Trainwreck? Is that the one with LeBron?
And I did watch Amy, it. Amy I did Schumer watch it. Yeah.
And,
yeah. Bill Hader.
Bill Hader, yeah.
Yeah, like, it was okay.
It was okay. Yeah, you know what I mean? But like, if LeBron was like the main character the whole time, I'd be quite bored.
Would you watch like a, man, people who are stuck around to this point of the podcast really must like the sound of our voices. Would you watch like a Blake Griffin, a lead comedy, like a Judd Apatow style comedy starring Blake Griffin?
No. And and Blake is like the elite tier. And I watched like Blake Griffin in a Red Bull video where he's pretending to be a cab driver and in Montreal. Like, I'll watch that for 10 minutes. Will I watch it for an hour and a half? No, there's no way. Here's the thing. You've seen the NBA Celebrity Game. Yeah. Would you go out of your way to see the NBA Celebrity Game? The answer is no. So why would I want to see NBA players act in a movie?
Though, it's the same shit. I do think a very funny thing that could happen is if you got a bunch of NBA players to do like Jackass style stunts, like just on an unsuspecting public. Like, imagine you're walking down the street and you see MPJ and Anthony Simons just fight each other, like boxing gloves. They ring a bell and they're boxing in the middle of Times Square for 15 minutes. I feel like Spike Jones make it happen. I'd like to see it.
Do you think anyone knows that was NBA dunk champion Anthony Simons?
And so what if they did, I don't know, who's famous enough but could do it? Maybe retired players? That's what the Big Three should become. It was just like social experiment pranks.
If Big Three had an element of fighting, like the way hockey just has random people fighting each other.
Oh my goodness.
It would add to it.
Derek Fisher and Matt Barnes can finally.
Bro.
Though they piece it up.
Yeah, right there. There you go. That's your. If we had actual footage of what went down in LA, you know?
Yeah.
Air Bud is on this list. Celtic Pride. Bro, this looks terrible. Let me just describe the poster for the movie Celtic Pride. I'm not even kidding. There are two white dudes who are Celtics fans. And in the middle, there's a black player who's wearing, I think, a Utah Jazz jersey that has duct tape over his mouth, and he is getting his hands tied together. Oh, no. I'm not even kidding. Like, that is the movie poster. When you search Celtic Pride, like, Josh, I want to send it to you right now for you to confirm that I'm not just slandering the Celtics.
When did this come out?
This movie is getting canceled.
Like, wait, that's Damon Wayans.
I didn't even recognize that was him, considering the fact that he's literally got duct tape on his mouth.
But, so a Boston Celtics fans kidnap an NBA player so that their team wins?
I'm pretty sure that is Bill Simmons on the left.
Yikes.
What the hell is this movie, bro? I can't get, oh my goodness. You know, there's some movies that are like in the dollar bin and you just feel bad for that movie and you're like, maybe I'll pick up one.
I do feel bad for those movies. Like Scorpion King 2, it's like, why did they do this to you?
You guys put a lot of hard work into it. And to see it for a dollar, like, that must be demoralizing. This is a movie where absolutely it needs to stay in the dollar bin. Like for eternity.
Yeah, just somewhere.
Look up Celtic Pride. This is terrible. My goodness. And look at the people involved in this.
Yeah, it's Dan Aykroyd. Well, Judd Apatow wrote this. Wow.
Right? That's not it. This is not it. This movie is not it.
It's on Disney Plus.
This shouldn't be, man.
It shouldn't be. No, but Disney Plus, they say they have this like a disclaimer, like you might see some stuff that will disturb you. We've learned, but we're gonna show it to you anyways.
Celtic Pride. I mean, the title alone is enough to dissuade you, but when you see
the poster
of this movie, it gets even worse.
You'd think this would be about the Glaswegian soccer team.
Right?
But no.
Hey, shout out, by the way, shout out Stephen. Obviously, we talked about CBG earlier, Stephen Gerrard managing Rangers to a league title. I believe first time in 10 years above Celtic. So,
yeah. Do you follow the Scottish League?
Hell no, man. Are you kidding me?
No. Okay.
I couldn't name three players there. But
can you name three clubs?
Okay, Celtic, Rangers, and yeah. I don't know, Aberdeen or something.
Aberdeen, yeah. I mean, that's pretty obvious.
But there you go. I backdoored my way into that one.
Shout out Hibs. They're the team in Leaf. If you've ever seen like Trainspotting, I think in T2 they reference Hibs.
Or
anywho. All right.
This podcast has been long enough. Josh, thanks for coming on as always, man. I miss you, buddy. This is probably why we talked for 2 hours.
Yeah, let's hang out in person. Lockdown's ending.
Yeah, absolutely.
Or end it today. So let's meet up inside of the store.
We won't be doing that, but maybe we walk in the park or something.
Yeah.
Going for walks has been mad underrated. I feel like I've aged 20 years just in my willingness to just go for a walk. The middle of the day, let's go for a walk. Like the way I go for a walk nowadays is unbelievable. It's like anytime I used to say, like, let's go hang out, let's go to a restaurant, let's go to a bar, you know, whatever, let's go see a show. It's just all of it is replaced by let's go for a walk.
I used to look at going for walks like dribbling the ball out on the like shot clock of your life. And now I still do, but the game's already been decided.
Yeah, I'm running the Kevin O'Neill offense, bro. Like I'm just going for a walk. Yeah, I mean, so yeah, Josh, looking forward to seeing you, man. And thanks everyone for listening. I appreciate it. And we'll be back next week.
Sweet.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.